Preface. When I sit down to write, sometimes I don't really know what I'm going to say. I start anyway, and almost inevitably the words start coming and I have to try to keep up with them. As I write, I wonder about the woman who might be encouraged by my words, who may find just a small bit of hope in them. I wonder how they will bless her. I hope that they will reach her. And that is why it is especially humbling to realize that the message is actually meant for me. Usually, within the preface, the writer discusses why he or she is the right person to be writing the book. In this case, I'm telling you why I shouldn't be writing it. I did not see this book coming. The message within it came first as a blog series, and even then, the words were given to me through my incessant pleading. I write this book as a mother of six. Three of my children under two, the smallest of them, identical twin boys. It seems almost paradoxical that right now, when I am more sleep-deprived than I have ever been in my life, I'm writing about rest. On the one hand, it makes no sense. On the other, it makes all the sense in the world. This book sprang from an insatiable thirst for the unshakable peace that God promises those who follow Him. I long to live from a place of rest, to teach and mother from peace rather than anxiety. I'm quite certain that God desires that for all of us, His beloved daughters called to the educating and raising up of little hearts and minds. I am just like you. I homeschool my kids, wash dishes, pile laundry, trip over Legos, obsess over the curriculum, think too much about which book we should read next, about whether I am doing enough or doing any of it well enough. I worry. I falter. I cave into my fears and fret about what the neighbors think. I refuse to let God have His way with my kids, our family, and our homeschool, and I cling ever tighter to my illusions of control. It was Andrew Kern from the Searcy Institute, searcyinstitute.org, who first alerted me to my anxiety-riddled ways. I was watching an interview of him on YouTube when he stopped me in my tracks. He said, "The most important thing a homeschooling mother can do is to teach from a state of rest." At the time, I was pregnant with twins. I had a child who was barely a year old, three older kids to teach, a home to run, and the idea sounded, well, absurd. Right, I thought. At this very minute, there is dinner to cook, laundry spilling into the hallway, the toddler getting into the bathroom cupboards, again, one child having a meltdown over handwriting, another making paper dolls instead of doing math, and a third shooting Nerf darts at my head. All this, and I got 5 hours of interrupted sleep last night because the baby has an ear infection. I didn't understand what he meant by rest. He didn't mean teach your calm children in a calm manner on a calm afternoon. He didn't even mean teach on a full night's sleep. Thank goodness. He meant that we ought to enter into God's rest and then serve Him wholeheartedly, not out of anxiety, but out of love and trust. Over the course of the next year, I swallowed whole anything I could find about rest. I scoured the internet and the Bible and every book that fell across my way. In the process, I discovered the work of Dr. Christopher Perrin from Classical Academic Press, who was also talking about restful teaching and learning, about skole. Dr. Perrin was influential in my understanding of slow, sane education. My desire to teach my children from peace grew and grew. You can view Dr. Perrin's video on skole at classicalacademicpress.com and learn about homeschooling groups pursuing restful learning at scolegroups.com. I would be remiss not to thank Andrew Kern and Dr. Perrin for their influence on my own personal state of rest. To Rebecca James, thank you for believing in this project and in my ability to tackle it. Your confidence and encouragement helped me keep on. I owe a debt of gratitude to my beautiful friends, Pamela Barnhill and Misty Winkler, who believed in this project and offered endless help and counsel from the moment it was just a vague idea. Thanks also to Elizabeth Foss, Angela Fredericks, Megan Kunzel, Rosalie Nurse, Sheila Ron, and Natalie Schroeder. You have been to me what Mary was to Elizabeth in her day of need. The insight and practical help you gave was invaluable. I thank God every time I remember you. To Andy and my beautiful big kids, thank you for putting up with the madness, for letting me shriek with glee when the words came to me like a rush, and for giving me space to hone them when they trickled out with much time and effort. Your support of my labors has meant the world to me. I hope all that time I disappeared to a coffee shop to write this book will be redeemed through his grace. I do everything for you, but sometimes I forget to tell you that. For the readers of my blog, Amongst Lovely Things, all I have for you is heartfelt thanks. Your words of confidence and admonition spurred me on. You inspire and challenge me every day. The community we have built together brings me great hope and lifts me up when the days feel heavy. Here is the bare truth. Not an hour passes without the enormity of the task I have taken on bringing me to my knees. This work of homeschooling and raising hearts and souls and bodies is hard. It is more than I can do in my own strength. Even so, more than anything else, I desire to teach and mother in a way that pleases God. Some days that feels like feeding the 5,000. But he's not asking me to feed the 5,000. He just wants me to bring my basket of loaves and fish and lay them at his feet. I have no business whatsoever sounding like someone who has this figured out. I'm writing this book anyway because the message keeps rattling around in my heart, and I won't be able to shake it free until I learn to embrace it. Our hearts are restless until they rest in you, O Lord. From Augustine's Confessions.